Hi there, you're listening to the Help Justice Radio Collective on CFMU 93.3 FM. Last Wednesday, February 20th, Help Justice Radio, in collaboration with Health Providers Against Poverty Hamilton, CFMU, and the YWCA, collaborated to record a live segment from the streets of Hamilton. This was part of a national initiative called the Homelessness Marathon, 14 hours of live radio broadcast from streets across the country. Today, we replay a segment from that show. Here it is.
You're listening to Health Justice Radio Collective on CFMU 93.3.
Hi there, you're listening to the 2013 Homelessness Marathon. This is the fourth hour of the 11th annual Homelessness Marathon, a live national 14-hour radio broadcast about homelessness and housing issues heard across the country by over 40 campus and community radio stations. My name is Nikki Bosanoff. I'm a member of the Health Justice Radio Collective. Tonight we're broadcasting live from the streets outside of the YWCA Hamilton, Ontario, which provides transitional housing for approximately 65 women. We've got a listening booth set up here at 75 McNabb Street South, so if you're listening from the Hamilton area, come by and join us for some hot drinks and ongoing discussion about homelessness and precarious housing in our city. We'll be here until midnight. So tonight our segment will focus on the lived experiences of women in the city who've had experiences with precarious housing and the impact of that unstable housing on health. In Hamilton, shelter usage by women is increasing while shelter usage by men is decreasing. There are 195 men-only beds in the city, whereas there's only 127 for women, 90% of which are specifically designated for women fleeing violence. Women's shelters also routinely turn away clients owing to lack of capacity. In the month of October alone, for example, Inasmuch House reported that women were turned away 87 times. The shelter has 37 beds. I'm going to turn now to Laura. She's an activist with the Hamilton Roundtable for Poverty Reduction. She also has lived experience with chronic illness and low income. Welcome, Laura.
Thank you, Nikki.
So, Laura, why don't you just start off by asking you what seems like a fairly simple question: how can illness lead to precarious housing status?
Well, illness, especially when you start to deal with critical illness or chronic illness, affects your income. And as soon as your income gets reduced, you're dealing with precarious housing. If you can't afford where you live, then you have to seek something else. Unfortunately, in the midst of critical illness or chronic illness, you're probably least capable of actually going out and looking for something and moving yourself.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know that was some of your experience at one time. Do you want to talk about that at all?
Absolutely. When I first got ill 10 years ago, I found myself between jobs. I had actually been laid off. And I had a really reasonable apartment for $625. But while I was waiting for more public income, namely ODFD and CPP disability, I was on Ontario Works. And unfortunately, at the time, it was only $560 a month. So all of a sudden, my really reasonable rent became totally unaffordable.
Mm-hmm.
And because I was ill, I didn't even have the option or the money to actually leave where I currently was. And I really struggled bringing in strangers to help me pay the rent. And it was a really traumatic and trying period of my life.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Is there anyone else in this circle here who wants to talk about their experience of illness and how that impacts health? So this is Miracle. She's training to be in the health management sector, and she's currently in the Women Abuse and Survivor Committee here at the YWCA.
Hi, I just want to quickly chip in that chronic illness or sickness or whatever could affect one and could also lead to homelessness because once your active life is reduced and you're facing a lot of difficulties, most times that is housing is relief in your mind, because when you're fighting with your life and trying to survive, and health is paramount to whatever that you're facing, and also it also reduces your mobility and your ability to even go out there to seek for the social assistance which you rarely get. And actually, this also makes it much, much difficult for anyone who, in that situation, to, you know, have a good house or be able to cater up for his or herself. Mm-hmm. And also, I think there should be a kind of assistance for people with chronic diseases or illness, you know, in housing sector, so that they can easily, you know, get a place mm-hmm. and shelter over their roof.
So what about kind of the opposite thing? How did kind of the stress or the anxiety of needing to find housing impact you? Anyone? All right, so this is Crystal. She's training to be a community service worker, and she has lived experience in transitional housing here in Hamilton. Go ahead, Crystal.
Okay, thank you. Actually, just from experience myself, I mean, being able to go out there and having to find a place to live in, it really creates a lot of anxiety. And, you know, at one point, I was depressed mm-hmm. because it's so hard. Like, all that pressure built up and not knowing what to do, not knowing what the resources that are out there.
And you have a child with you tonight.
Yes.
So how is that, trying to bring your child to find housing as well?
It's really hard because there's places out there, like especially at shelters and whatnot, with that in mind, there's so many other kids there and so many other families. So you're in there with all these other people
mm-hmm.
That it just gets kind of, what's that word?
Chaotic?
Chaotic, yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyone else want to talk about that illness and its impact on housing? Oh, sure. So this is Sharon. Hi, Sharon.
Hi.
Great to have you here.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So you had an experience.
Yes.
Of living in unstable housing. Do you want to tell us about that?
Yes. Well, I think that myself, at the time I get depressed, then I don't get depressed, but I think it, at the time I was working and I got laid off, and I planned on going back to work, and they said they didn't need me. And, you know, like, being a human being, if you, when your emotions and your stress comes in, and, you know, you're thinking what's going to happen tomorrow, you really don't know. And I think when the pressure of a person is already having to look for a place to live, and all they see around them is shelters and parks, etc., I don't think I think the shelter and the parks are a solution. Sure, you sleep in a park in the summertime, but in the winter, you know, the extremities can get into your body and die of hypothermia. I don't think that going in a shelter is the answer. It's partially the answer, but it's partially not, because mm-hmm. the period that you're in there, you're in with other people that are in a crisis, mm-hmm. and you're in a crisis. And I know the one I was in, you weren't allowed to talk to the other person. You couldn't talk about your problems. You had to keep it to yourself. And then if you didn't find a place by the time your time was up, they found a place for you.
Okay.
You know, and
so, yeah, so, no, I hear what you're saying. Let's move on to maybe another question, which is there a gendered component to housing? I mean, we're all women sitting around this table. How has being a woman affected your ability to access housing? Did you have something you wanted to say on that? Okay. Sure. Okay, so this is... Maria. She's an aspiring writer, and she's also on the Women of Youth Survivor Committee here at the YWCA. Welcome.
Hi.
We're happy to have you tonight.
So funny.
Yeah.
Okay. Hi.
So I know before you were mentioning around nutrition, especially, that it was difficult for you to pay rent at one point, and at the same, do you want to talk about that?
Well, it's many factors. Mm-hmm. When your income is very limited, mm-hmm. and you're faced with being a single full support parent, and also the need for shelter, which is vital, the immediate need, which also affects your mental health, mm-hmm. if you're not eating, you know, adequate, mm-hmm. adequately. So start chipping at your rent, mm-hmm. and next thing you know, you receive an eviction notice, you know, which I've received, mm-hmm. you know.
So what was that like for you when you got the eviction notice and you were like, well, I've been using this money for food?
But it's also sometimes it's your own fault. It's not just right. the need. Sometimes mm-hmm. you're being foolish, mm-hmm. you know. Because when you're going through depression and things like that, you know, it's like, what am I going to do to cheer myself up? So, you know what, I don't have any money, but this rent money. So, you know, I'll go shopping a little bit and, you know, and then I'll buy food. And then, sometimes you're faced with your only cell phone.
Right.
Extended, and then next thing
you know. Is that small? Should not everyone have that small bit of luxury to be able to, you know, buy, you know, a lipstick once in a while? Is that really a luxury, you know?
For some people.
No, but I'm just saying that, you know, everyone deserves.
It adds up. Like,
yeah,
you know, it's like you step into it.
No, absolutely.
But,
So I guess we were going to talk about how does being a woman in the city affect your ability to access housing. Yeah. Hey, Laura wants to say.
Okay. It is much more difficult mm-hmm. as a female, even before you reach shelter. To find affordable housing,
mm-hmm.
Just in terms of security, the neighborhoods that you can look in that are less expensive are also more dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, if you're a single female and you're looking at moving housing, many of those owners will not accept you as a tenant. They will tell you outright that they fear for your safety. They do not want you in those circumstances. And it makes it really difficult to access affordable, safe housing.
Mm-hmm.
Even getting farther and farther from a bus stop and having to walk back and forth after dark and all these considerations.
Mm-hmm.
It is important. Also, if you're single without a child and without any history of domestic abuse,
mm-hmm.
there are less shelter options for you as well.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes women face crisis just as much as men do, just through losing a job, through ill health, and even chronic illness like mental illness, as well as critical illness. So it is important to start providing affordable options for women.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else have a comment on that topic? Miracle, go ahead. So just a reminder that you can call the Homelessness Marathon line at 1-866-594-7729 at any time if you'd like to hear your voice on radio, if you have a comment at any time. Go ahead, Miracle.
I think being a woman, because it's your opportunity or the availability, you know, for you to get a good place, because one, the landlords or the owners of the house, they don't feel, because they don't have the family, for instance, they don't feel secured and they're not very sure of who you are, because as a woman, they tend to see you the other way, you know, and you could also look into you bringing maybe men or stuff like that into the house and, you know, having, issue, so they try to give you reasons, and which they tell you, you know, sorry, as a woman, I can't do this because if you're insecure, they don't see it as a need for you to, you know, for them to give you your
pleasure. Right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So which makes it difficult, you know, and in any way you look at it, it's so difficult as, you know, we are female and, you know, how it is, it's gender thing in this society now, so it's a difficult thing for us to deal with.
Yeah, go ahead, Maria. Hi. go ahead, yeah.
I just wanted to add that especially if you're a woman with children and on assistance, some landlords will immediately turn you down to find you on assistance.
Yeah.
And those will also be something more suitable.
Mm-hmm. Like, did they ask you? Have you been asked outright? Are you living on
by
landlord?
Yeah, I've been asked before. Or something might be advertised that, you know, social
advertised
assistance.
As
no social assistance recipients or anything like that. And see more, those places are, you know, more better accommodation.
Mm-hmm.
So then we're faced with, you know, less and less options, and then some people will have to choose places that don't require a credit check and things like that.
Right.
So then, you know, then you're at, you know, you put your children or yourself, if you're alone, at risk, you know, for different things, you know, to be safe. You know.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you want to comment on that? All right, Crystal has a comment again. The number you can call is 1-866-594-7729. You're listening to CFMU 93.3 here in Hamilton. We're broadcasting live. You're also listening to the National Homelessness Marathon radio broadcast. Go ahead, Crystal.
Hi. I'd actually like to put out there as well, when you go to look for housing, they also look at what you look like and how you dress and your status. And it's really difficult. If you don't go out there and you have to be all looking nice and pretty and, you know, fancy clothes, it's, you know, and not everybody can afford to buy fancy clothes, right? So, I mean, like, if you're just dressed in, like, you know, just normal jeans or a hoodie, they don't even really look at you as a potential, like, person to live in that place.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it all comes down to presentation, and I don't think that's right. It should be based on, it shouldn't be based on what you look like and what your status is.
Mm-hmm.
If you're able to pay for it, why not, right? Even if you're on social assistance, I don't think, I mean, to me, that's discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I just kind of wanted to put that out.
Yeah, absolutely. And some of you talked briefly about the short time stays in shelter, and maybe you can, if anyone has any comments about what it's like to transition. So you finally, you're in a crisis, you made it maybe to a shelter, you've made it to a transition point, and now you're trying to, you know, make that next step. What's going through your mind? Yeah, go ahead, Sharon.
When you're going from, like, transitional homes, from housing to housing or private market, whatever, I think as you get older, your body can only take so much moving, and comes to a point where, say you're an elderly person, and, you know, you've got, like, for example, you've been married 20 or 30 years or longer, and you're around the same age as your spouse. Well, domestic dispute, the trouble is if you move an elderly person over and over and over again, or you're even reach the age of a woman reaching the age of 40 or 50, and she's been moving up from 20 to 30 to 40, she's been moving already for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Then she's moving another, say, 30 or 40 years, so she's 70,
mm-hmm.
and she just keeps moving on and on and on because of the circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
I think the body tends to wear out. And also, too, it's not good for the health. I think it's you know, it's kind of been proven, like, to move a person from a nursing home, for example, to another nursing home, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, mm-hmm. is wear and tear on the body.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of building them up, just kind of bring them down emotionally. Just bring them down.
All the moves, because you kind of have to start over every time. Your community moves.
Yes, that's right. And your body only can take only so much punishment from being moved. Kind of like punishment in a way. Moving all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you're just not like you're a teenager again. You're not. Mm-hmm. You know. So I think, that the problem is with domestic disputes. Police don't like to get involved. They say they don't like it. And another thing, too, is the man, he feels like he's the one that has the power. He's over mm-hmm. the woman. He's the breadwinner. And I think even today, they still think the man is the breadwinner, whereas he's got the job, he brings the money in, he provides. But also the women, they have now, like, you know, they can do the work too, like construction work, whatever. They have power too.
Yeah.
But that power, by moving around, tends to wear down.
Sure. Yeah. Anyone else have any comment about the transition? Go ahead, Laura. So, reminder, you're listening to the 2013 Homelessness Marathon. We're broadcasting live right now from the YWCA in Hamilton. You can listen live online at cfmu.mcmaster.ca. Go ahead, Laura.
Many, many years ago, before I faced chronic illness, mm-hmm. I was unemployed and broke up in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I was lucky enough to find a shelter eventually after sleeping in my car for a while. It would take me in. And when I mean car, I mean something the gas tank had holes. I was breathing in fumes. It ended up going to the wrecker almost immediately once mm-hmm. I found shelter. The problem with 2 weeks is that you're already coming in crisis.
Mm-hmm.
You're probably seeking Ontario work immediately. They're screening you. You're trying to provide documentation when you don't have any money
mm-hmm.
to actually get around and get the documents that they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
If you are lucky enough to be approved, they'll give you, or they used to give you, community startup and maintenance benefits so you could go get a place, so you would have an address so they could start your Ontario work.
Mm-hmm.
The problem now is they have discontinued community startup and maintenance benefits. We are lucky in the city of Hamilton. Our councillors have decided that they find it in 6 months' worth.
Mm-hmm.
The province, after a big push from a lot of us, province of Ontario has decided to put in $42 million toward the transition year.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really appreciative of that. But the thing is, CISO is so important. It's something that we just cannot say it's okay to let go of this
mm-hmm.
program. It keeps us from becoming homeless again. In my case, it was used to secure first and last month's rent when I had literally $5 to my name.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, transitioning from there, you know, I was happy at that point to sleep quite literally on a $20 mattress on my floor as long as I had shelter and it was my own and I was in a space where I felt secure. Removing that benefit is going to hurt so many people, especially women facing domestic abuse, people with critical illness or chronic illness. You keep people from becoming homeless, to pay utility arrears, rent arrears. That program is so necessary to us. And if anything in this province and in this city that we can keep going, I think that's one program that becomes really, really important.
Did anyone else here rely on the CFPMB? Crystal?
Yes.
Sure, go ahead. Right, so a reminder that you're listening to the 2013 Homelessness Marathon. Again, the number you can call if you want to contribute is 1-866-594-7729. Go ahead, Crystal.
Yes, I wanted to agree with that. When you're in a shelter and you have to, everything that you have in your apartment or house or whatever, you have to be with storage. If you can't afford storage, you don't have anything afterwards. So that startup benefit was, you know, it was one of those things, well, you do need it. right? Because once after you leave the shelter, what do you have? You have nothing, especially when you have a child. And not just, you know, even if this woman in general, mm-hmm. when you don't have anything, you need that money to be able to start up again, everything, all over again. And just like you said earlier, like arrears and first and last month's rent, I mean, for myself, I relied on that to pay for my first and last month's rent. So it's just something that it would greatly benefit us if they just implemented that again.
Okay. So I want to just check in now. You know, we're in the city of Hamilton. We know that there's a crisis in housing, especially for women. What are your opinions about how we can move forward in this city? In Hamilton, in terms of shelter. Okay, Miracle has something to say about that. Go ahead, Miracle.
What I want to say is, what I want to say is, in housing issues, to me, as a woman, it doesn't matter where you come from. I had an issue, and I had to go to the housing, and they gave me reasons that was ridiculous to me, because it doesn't matter where you're coming from or where the abuse is or mm-hmm. you know what your situation is. If this person,
you were saying that you had difficulty accessing the shelters because you didn't have papers.
Yeah. And then the housing issue mm-hmm. is tell you, oh, the abuser is not in this country or is not in this city. To me, I think it doesn't matter where the person is. Mm-hmm. If this woman needs this help,
support.
Is good, you give it to her. Mm-hmm. So I think if we could look beyond where this person is coming from and look into the situation
mm-hmm.
or the circumstances that this person is facing and help, it will make it a better situation for women with housing issues mm-hmm. or homelessness issues.
Okay. I think. Anyone else with comments about what can happen here in Hamilton? Crystal, go ahead. And we're just in the last 5 minutes of the fourth hour of the Homelessness Marathon. We're broadcasting to you live from the YWCA in downtown Hamilton. Go ahead, Crystal.
Thank you. I just want to say it's creating more awareness, more education. I mean, there's so many programs out there, but, we're just not aware of it. And there's programs out there that...
Do you want to talk about a program that was helpful to you in particular?
I actually found a program called Fletcher's and Associates, mm-hmm. and they have a youth skills, it's called the youth skills program, mm-hmm. Connection program. And when you go there, they teach you basic skills, you get your women's certificate and whatnot, but they also mentor you and to help you guide you in the right direction. So, like, a lot of us there, we're women, and there's a couple guys as well,
mm-hmm.
but it's pretty much just kind of getting you back on track with life, helping you go back to school,
mm-hmm.
Child care, the necessary things that you need to just kind of get back
there. Yeah, we have 2 minutes left. Does anyone else have any thoughts about moving forward here in Hamilton? Yeah, quickly. Go ahead, Sharon, quickly.
I think myself in Hamilton, they should have like even shelters or wherever the woman is living, that she wouldn't have to pay for it, like a self-esteem course.
Mm-hmm.
And if she was taking a self-esteem course, that would boost her ego and that would help her get on her feet, and especially in a crisis situation.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry, just because of time, go ahead.
Moving forward,
mm-hmm.
Well, I wanted to say about a resource
mm-hmm. that helps you, yeah.
That helped me. The Good Shepherd Women's Services.
Mm-hmm.
They're an amazing place. They helped us so much. And one program that they had, which is now...
Okay, so we have 30 seconds left. The Good Shepherd Services. Okay. I think we got to go... We have only 30 seconds left, so I just want to thank all you women for being here tonight.
You are listening to a rebroadcast of a segment we did last Wednesday as part of the 11th Annual National Homelessness Marathon. Thanks for listening. Check out our archives at www.healthjusticeradio.com.
Listening to Health Justice Radio Collective on CFMU 93.3.